Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
We're going to do a special quick hit on the WASD today. USD put out the September WASD with some updates in the corn and soybean markets. My name is, again, Craig Turner, broker here at Daniels Trading. You can find me online at turnerstake.com or turnerstakeag.com, over on Twitter at turnerstake, and this podcast, which should be in iTunes or Android. All my contact information is in the show notes. I'm a broker here at Daniels, work with hedgers, speculators, commercials, spec accounts, hedge accounts, whatever it may be in the futures and options markets. So the WASD was a surprise today. Let's talk about corn first. Yields were 169.9, so they inched them up 0.4 on the corn yield. We were all surprised by that. Everyone was looking, a lot of people, I should say, were looking for 169, 168.5. Looking for maybe a half a bushel or a bushel lower. Ended up getting 0.4 of a bushel higher. Beginning stocks for the old crop did come down a little bit, and that was edged up then by production. So we did see supply grow a little bit. What was also a little unfortunate to see was the demand usage was a little bit lower than we were hoping for too. So use was down. So ending stocks was 2.335 billion on the new crop corn. That is a not great number. Stock to usage is going to be about 16%. USDA has their average on farm price between 280 and 360. That's not basic. That's not futures. That's the cash price on farm, but it, for futures, then, someone might make the argument we should be in the 320 to 330 range, if that's the case. We had a low around 345, I think, today, which tested the old lows, and we had a strong close. We came up back up to about 350, 351 after testing 345 again in the December corn futures. So the close was a little bit, was nice to see a strong close. The funds are pretty short in corn right now, so it's a lot to ask them to keep on selling down here. It's not, a 2.3 billion carryout with a 16% stock to usage is bearish, but it's not the end of the world. It's not a two handle for futures. So, I'm sure we'll see. I would think we'd see some pressure as harvest, as really picks up in the Midwest and we see selling off the combine and things like that. But, I don't know how much more bearish we can get on the corn situation. We're below cost of production for a lot of farmers now, or if we keep on going lower, we certainly will be. And you just kind of see the farmers stop selling down here. So farmers aren't going to sell and the funds don't want to add on to shorts or are enthusiastic about it. It's going to be hard to see us going down a whole lot lower. While it certainly can happen, but you need money flow to do that. So the funds will want to get record. If we are going to push this thing down another 10, 20, 30 cents, then the funds are going to have to get record short. And that remains to be seen if they'll do that. So that's something to keep an eye on. I know in my newsletter, I put it out this after talking about the podcast yesterday and the newsletter this morning, I did talk about straddles for farmers, selling premium, collecting premium, basically. And that, we ended up doing the 360 puts. If you can do 350s, 355s, 360s, I don't think it really matters. I think we're going to be up or down 20 cents for the next couple of weeks. More likely to the downside, but it wouldn't put it out of reach to see a good rally just on short covering. here, but I do think we're going to be chopping around in the corn market. So we're just going to stick with the playing in the range, buy and support, sell and resistance, and we'll also sell some straddles, and that's going to be our game plan for the next month or two, and we'll just see what happens then with demand, and USDA will confirm next month. We'll have another round of confirming where they think the stocks are. And the yields are for corn, and then we'll start talking about South America. But this is usually a low volatility time of year, and with large global stocks and a large U.S. crops, I don't see any reason why we shouldn't be range-bound in price. That's the way we're going to trade it, and that's the way we're going to hedge it for the next couple of weeks or months. So a lot of opportunity. You can have opportunity in markets that move a lot. You really can, whether you just want to play a tight range or you want to sell call spreads, sell put spreads, sell straddles. There's definitely ways to play that kind of a market. For soybeans, USDA surprised again. They upped the yields a half a bushel to 49.9. The good news for beans was they old crop stocks came down to 345 because the a lot of people are expecting the USDA to improve the export numbers for old crop, which they did, and ended up bringing ending stocks down. So ending stocks for old crop went from 370 to 345. So that was good. Unfortunately, with the production increase, the beginning carryout for new crop came down 25 million bushels, but with the new production increase, we came up 50. So it was a net gain of 50. But USDA then said for new crop demand, we're going to see basically a 25 bushel increase for exports next year. So it's net-net when we look at the new crop. 475 for new crop carryout, 345 for old crop carryout. USDA is putting stock to usage around 11%. You know, that's comfortable. It's not tight. I don't think it's that burdensome. I mean, you do want to see anything above 10%, you can say we have stocks are too high. So maybe we are a little too high on soybeans. But USDA is putting farm price between 835 and 1005. You know, that means low nines, 920, 910 in terms of an average price. And here's the thing with soybeans. They do deserve a little bit more of a premium in them than corn, and much more so than wheat. I talk about this a lot. You know, every 6 months, we got to produce 4 billion bushels of soybeans in the United States. Then 6 months, 4 billion bushels in South America. And we have to keep on doing that. Otherwise, we're going to have shortages in the global export market for soybeans. It's the way it is. It's not like wheat, where wheat is basically harvested for export in every region of the world. Every month. I mean, once a month there's some region in the world that is harvesting wheat. That is not the, for export. That is not the case for soybeans. Corn's somewhere in the middle. So soybeans definitely, you're always 1 6-month crop cycle away, whether it be North America or South America, from having a potential shortage in the entire global export market for soybeans. That will probably keep a bid in this. I can't see us going below 9 right now until we really see confirmation from harvest. But even then, South America is always going to be on everyone's mind. I think the big shocker today was for soybeans. Pod counts were small, but the weights were massive. Huge weights on those, and we'll have to confirm. It also brings up some questions, what's going on with this new seed technology and just how resistant to adverse weather soybeans are, and how good the new technology is bringing up the weights for the soybean pot. So that'll be interesting. But I think soybeans are going to be range bound here too. I'm not really trading beans. I don't have a lot of farmers with a ton of exposure to soybeans, so we're just going to kind of lay off right now. There's not enough option premium to sell straddles, and they move too fast for the futures, and the spreads are quite dead. So we'll just kind of leave those alone for a little while. Maybe buy and support and sell and resistance as a swing trader will be interesting. But for now, we're going to just kind of stay tight and see what happens with the reports we get for the soybean market. Wheat... didn't really change a whole lot. Actually, there are really no changes at all. Wheat actually had, but all the grain markets, corn, wheat, and soybeans did close stronger. I mean, at one point, I want to say beans were down about 20 cents, 20 plus cents, especially in the front month, and came out to rally here, only being down about 10. Corn was only down about 5 or 6 after being down around 11 or 12 at one point. Wheat, which was getting hit up pretty good, down about 6 or 7, ended up closing up 7 cents. So that was definitely an interesting development in the wheat market. So we did have a strong close. We had a buying coming in at the close. That's always good to me. That usually means, you know, who's left to sell. You know, if everyone's already short and there's a big short out there and you get a bearish report, you know, are we short covering now just because there's no more money flow to come in and see this done, to keep on selling it down. So we'll keep an eye on the wheat market, keep an eye on Kansas City was strong. Minneapolis wheat was weak. It was disappointing. The big thing about that was disappointing Minneapolis wheat is that the USDA basically increased imports and decreased exports, which brought the ending stocks back up to about a 144, which isn't that bad. It's not great, but it's not that bad. And the wheat spreads, which I was liking March versus May for a while now, until I saw the report today, and now I'm starting to change my mind on it, and I'm getting a little bit more neutral on that spring wheat market. If the production, I was always questioned the production on spring wheat and thought it was going to be really tight, but if now if the USDA is going to say we're going to import spring wheat because it's going to be available in other places and we're going to reduce exports, that's a problem. And we saw things like that with soybeans. You know, a couple of years ago when soybeans got really tight in the United States, you'd see, you know, they're available in South America, you'd see this arbitrage where guys would figure out, like, you know, okay, well, soybeans are cheap in South America, we're going to ship them to the United States, and then that's going to be able to be competitive with whatever U.S. prices are. And I think the USDA is doing a little bit of that with the spring wheat, basically saying if spring wheat's going to be so high in the United States, and there's other spring wheat, you know, hard red winter wheat around the world, hard red spring wheat around the world that's comparable protein, let's say from Europe, you know, it's cheaper in Europe, they have a bigger supply, they ship it over, you know, the cost of shipping, you know, what is it comparable, can they still get a good price for it compared to, you know, the higher U.S. prices? And it looks like that's what the USDA is doing, saying that this spring wheat might be high, but it's going to be high enough to flush out this cheap European good quality wheat into the U.S. market. And then some of the global demand will leave the United States to go to Europe. That's why exports would come down. So that was disappointing. And if that's the way it is, then, you know, the story in Minneapolis wheat might be over a lot sooner than I thought it would be. So, which is kind of why, you know, I've been in those March versus May spreads. We made about 10 or 15 cents on the first round. We're probably going to lose about 10 cents on the second round. And, you know, sometimes that's the benefit of being in a spread when you realize you're long, it doesn't hurt you too much. But, yeah, that's a little bit disappointing. But anyways, still like the corn spread. I talked a lot about cattle today, too, in the newsletter. I like that October versus Dece live cattle spread. I like it seasonally. I think we've gotten real beat up on it. And if you read that newsletter, when I talk about the Goldman Rule, what happens is there are some huge, big money funds, and they're just long only, these crops. And what happens is, or these commodities, they have to roll out. And that really put a lot of pressure the past couple of days on October against December. With the strong beef demand coming back in, and, you know, basically the seasonality going for us, I do like that. I do like that spread, the October versus D spread. If you didn't see it in the newsletter today, you can always give me a call or shoot me an email. So that's it. Primarily, this was a WASD special. Report was overall bearish, but I'd say the silver lining here is we're getting to a point where it's just hard to get any more bearish on this crop. It's hard to see how much more the funds are going to want to sell it down and add it to open interest and add to shorts, especially on the corn side. And I don't know, maybe that leads to some stabilization here. All right, so that was our bonus WASDE coverage. Hope everyone has a good day. Talk to you later.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.